It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Jasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I want to touch on something we just had in the headlines there. It's Jasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Because this is just so wacky. Even reading it, like even when I saw this pop last night on Twitter, Chris, I was like, huh? What? No, huh? So the 2020 NHL draft took place last night. And who got the number one pick? TBD. Now, that's not Thomas Brian Davidson or a new team that's starting in Seattle, which aren't they calling them the Kraken? No. TBD. We don't know yet. The number one pick is going to go to a team that's trying to vie for the playoffs. A team that's going to be in the playoffs just won the NHL draft lottery. It's I'm all for chaos, like wacky chaos, not the bad chaos that we're all as a worldwide society going through, what with the hell pandemic and everything. That stinks. I hate that kind of chaos. But like the fun chaos, sports chaos, schadenfreude, all that, I typically like, Chris. I like it. I'm into it. Whatever. You know, like that sports anger. Oh, you're mad about that? Good. Let me roll in it like a pig in poop. But even this is too wacky for me. Like, this is stupid. It's dumb. How ripped off are you, like, if you're the Detroit Red Wings? Oh. Trash team. Trash.
Oh, my goodness.
They end up fourth in this thing, and I go, well, it's a lottery, Jim, the ping pong balls. I typically think these things are rigged, like the Lakers getting the number one pick last year. Fake. The ghost of David Stern has his hand. Hockey David Stern. Quebecois David Stern had his hand in this. Like, come on, give me a break. This is stupid. So here's how it worked out. One of the 16 teams that's going to participate in the play-in round, that's who's going to get the number one overall pick. It's a lottery outcome that had a 2.5% chance of happening.
And a 100% chance of trying to reward the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah! So TSN, Frank Saravalli, reading from him, each of the eight teams eliminated in the opening round will now have an equal 12.5% chance in the second lottery, another lottery draw to be conducted at a later date. Like Chris said, I wonder who's going to win that. So it's TBD who won this, then the Kings, the Senators, who have a few picks here in the top eight, Senators at three, the Red Wings, who get completely boned at four, Senators again at fifth, Ducks sixth, Devils seventh, Sabres eighth. I felt it last year with the NBA one, Chris, and now after this, again, it's at the risk of contradicting myself. I typically like sports chaos, but this is too wacky. I hate these lottery draws. I hate them. It's why I like the NFL draft, rather. You stink. Even if, and I don't mind tanking that much. You're going to try to, you know, win never for Trevor Lawrence or anything like that, or suck for luck. Like, I get it. You know, you're trying to get the next great white whale for your franchise and a quarterback. That happens. I'm okay with that. It can sometimes make for a terrible product on the field, but whatever. That's just the way that the NFL is. But it should go to the worst team. The best pick goes to the worst team. I like that. There's more structure to it. This lottery thing, I don't buy it. Like, that just feels like you're setting up the Montreal Canadiens to get this number one pick.
Well, and the thing I don't like is I feel like it's not fair from this standpoint. You're rewarding teams like the Canadiens twice, right?
So they should have no business in the playoffs anyway.
Exactly. So they get to be in the playoffs, and they have the potential to move on. They're going to face the Pittsburgh Penguins, but they would be the last team. They are the last team in the East that's in the playoffs because it's a 24-team playoff format for this restart, 12 in each conference. So you have the ability to be in the playoffs, which to me, when you normally wouldn't be in there, that's a pretty big deal. Like, you know, that's a pretty big bonus you're getting from the NHL. So you get the playoffs. and then you also can get the number one pick. To me, it should have been either or. And what I would have said is that if one of these teams, one of these eight teams that normally would not be in the playoffs, wins the lottery, that 2.5% chance, they automatically drop to number two.
It's the I'm reading this. It's the lowest odds to ever win the first overall.
Of course it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So explain to me. So I know there's like a separate drawing, but then in the separate drawing, all the teams, right? The eight teams all have a 12.5% chance. They all have an equal chance, right?
Correct.
I mean, on paper, we all know it's the Canadiens, but you know, unless they somehow win this series against the Penguins,
they won't.
This best of five series.
They won't. They have no business.
The other thing I want to say about this, and obviously everybody knows, I'm not Mr. Hockey, but this is one of those years where you have a prospect who is like an Eric Lindros, who is like a Connor McDavid, who's like a Sidney Crosby. This Alexi Lafreniere kid is supposed to be legit, like an Austin Matthews. He's supposed to be like the
real
deal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is not just like this. This is like Stern and Patrick Ewing.
Okay.
This is not like, oh, this is just some kid.
So I don't know enough about this kid at all.
This kid's like legit. He's supposed to be magical.
Like Crosby type,
yeah.
Like franchise
like
changing.
That type of kid.
Oh, this is a crock then. Yeah, okay.
Which is why this happened, by the way. I'm telling you, they're steering this kid to the Canadiens. They are. That's what's happening.
Yeah, it just feels like that feels shady to me. That when I saw that last night, I had to read it like three times. I'm like, TB, huh? No. Which team got it? Two to be determined? How the hell's that work? Tyler and Auburn on last night's NHL lottery. Your thoughts. Hello.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. So I think you know I'm a diehard Detroit Red Wings fan. And so, I mean, the fact that a team that won 17 games in a regular season, an 82-game season, and slips to number four is absolute, it's a joke. It's a total joke. And the fact that, you know, a team that's going to get a chance to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs gets to have the number one overall pick in Alexis Lafreniere, that's just an absolute joke as well. And the fact that it could be Montreal, it could be Chicago, or it could be Pittsburgh, it's just the teams that the NHL loves to see have success. And, you know, Detroit made the playoffs 25 years in a row and won four Stanley Cups in 11 years. And so, I mean, I understand it. I don't expect anything to be handed to us, but at the same time, it's like they had 23 points less than everybody else. They had, what was it, 56 points or something? I think it was even less than that. And like I said, I mean, it's a joke. But I'll hang up and listen to you guys' thoughts.
Thanks. Yeah, Tyler, I'm now anti-lottery for drafts. I felt that way. I was leaning that way after the NBA last year, or really the NBA the last few years. But that last year was like, okay, this feels like this is fake. And we had the whole bit that we did, like, you know, are they not freezing the envelopes? Maybe they're using different gas for the lottery balls or whatever it is. Like, it just feels like it's rigged. This last night, the Red Wings, like the caller just said, so he's a Wings fan. But even I know, like, having the worst record in the NHL by a long shot, it doesn't get the Wings any closer to getting a potentially franchise-changing player. Now they pick fourth. That just makes that it's stupid. That's the reverse lottery for them. You get porked. And the same with the Senators. Not that really anyone even...
The Senators were like the 1997 Celtics.
You had two cracks at it, and you're what, third and fifth?
Three and five. They're just like the 1997 Celtics.
Oh, that's
hello,
terrible.
Hello, Chauncey Billups and Ron Mercer of the NHL.
Yeah, and I know nobody, even NHL fans, really don't care about the Ottawa Senators, but God, even the minuscule number of fans that they must have, you're like,
I'm telling you, this kid, I know I've said the Canadiens, so I'm doing a little more research. So we know that the Maple Leafs are the 8 seed right now, and they play the Blue Jackets. They could lose that series. So that would be interesting. They would be in it. And also, just take a wild guess, the media market of the number 11 seed in the East.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
The number 11 seed in the East, in the Eastern Conference, what media market do you think that is? In terms of, just name a city, you know, like say...
Pittsburgh?
No, New York. It's the Rangers.
Mm. Oh.
This kid is landing on the Canadiens, the Rangers, or I think if the Maple Leafs were to lose that series, like he's going to one
so
of those
he's
three
going
teams.
On major markets.
He
so
is. This is completely rigged.
Well, I have a question for you guys on this.
Yes.
Why the heck would the NHL have this lottery now when you have a TBA possibility for number one? Like, why not have it in a month when the first round is decided so you know what team it would be? It's not like they have set even an NHL draft date yet. So why create this, you know, clear, I don't know if it's an embarrassment, but clearly something for speculation that this could be rigged or whatever.
Because they wanted to be able to talk hockey. Like, would we be talking hockey today if they hadn't had their draft lottery?
Right.
They were on TBD talk, though? I feel like...
But now everyone's talking about it, and they're going to pay attention because they're going to do the second lottery, I think. Is it before or during the Stanley Cup final?
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
Okay. I know it's, they're going to do the second lottery during the Stanley Cup playoffs because I read about it this morning. I just can't remember if it's right before the Stanley Cup final or during the Stanley Cup final.
But
they're going to get all the mileage they can out of this, B-Rob. That's what it is.
Yeah, and they are. You know, because the league wanted a draft before the season was restarted.
They wanted to have the draft. It would have already, like, taken place.
And they invent the double lottery. And at that time, I remember, like, with Felger and Mass, we're like, oh, double lottery. Like, that's not going to happen. This is exactly what happened. What a crock. I'm out. I'm out with the lotteries in these sports. I know it's going to kind of change just because I'm going to sit behind a microphone and be like, I don't like it. Harump, harump. But I reward the worst team. If you're a Red Wings fan, you've got to be so mad. So mad. You get boned. So now, like you just said, this kid who is now going to be a phenom, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll sort of flop. Like
Alexei Yashin, remember him?
Alexander Daig, remember him? Maybe he'll flop like one of those guys. But no, this kid's supposed to be in the Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, Sidney Crosby, like sure thing class of players.
And he's likely to end up in Montreal with the New York Rangers or the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, no, nothing to see here. No, everything's above the
There's
board.
No way this kid is playing for the Coyotes next year. That's not happening.
All right, your thoughts on the NHL lottery from last night? You want to weigh in on that? We're talking Brady, too. We'll get to your phone calls next here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The number one overall selection in the 2020 NHL draft belongs to a team yet to be determined coming from the qualifying round in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Huh? Like, it's so weird. It's so weird, and it just feels like it's so shady. So, as Chris, you were giving me more information about, say his name
Alexis
again?
Alexis Lafreniere.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know much about this kid who's going to go number one overall to TBD.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's Crosby 2.0 in a lot of ways. This is a transformative player who's going to go to the Canadiens, the Maple Leafs, or the Rangers.
Book it. I'm not Mr. Hockey, but I've read up on this kid a little bit. So he actually plays for the same Quebec Major Junior Hockey League team that Sidney Crosby played for, the Rimouski Oceanic. And he joined Sidney Crosby this year as the only Quebec Major Junior Hockey League player to win back-to-back league MVPs. There's only two people have done it, Sidney Crosby and this Alexis Lafreniere.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fixed at all. I'm out with these lotteries. I don't like them anymore. Because I'm typically someone who is into sports chaos, fun chaos, not bad worldwide chaos like we're all having to live through this hell pandemic right now. But fun chaos, typically like it. These lotteries, something's up. Shenanigans are afoot. I don't like it. Mike and Woburn, your thoughts?
Oh, my God. The NHL, they've been rigging these things since the first lockout. Like, do you remember the first lockout? That's how Pittsburgh walked away with Crosby.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And they made all the qualifications to win that pick. They catered it to Pittsburgh. And remember, at the time, Mario had to buy the Penguins out of, like, basically bankruptcy because that was the only way he was getting his money. So Mario was basically did the league a favor, was hung over a barrel. He was threatening to move the team to Kansas City. And before that draft, him and Crosby were already living together, like working out. we're not even talking WWF level conspiracy. We're talking like NWA, Ricky Dick, WCW, bad wrestling writing conspiracy. Like everybody could see this coming. This was not a surprise heel turn by the league to give this to the Penguins. And now you've got a French speaking kid coming out of Quebec. And Montreal is eligible for the pick. Sacrebleu, I wonder where that kid's going when this thing happens. I'm surprised the Canadians haven't already signed the goaltender that the Penguins did in 1984 to make sure that they got Mario. That was the big conspiracy in 1984. The Penguins actually tanked. Their coach is on record as saying, "Yeah, when we were on penalty kills, I was putting up my fourth line in our own zone." Like they did like an E60 about it.
Huh.
So the whole league is just rife with this stuff. And basically, just, you know, give this kid a Yuppie costume right now because he's going to Montreal.
Yeah, I guess, I'd forgot about the double lottery thing and all of this because, you know, like each day there's so much craziness going on. So when this happened last night, so Mike doesn't sound surprised at all. I was surprised because, again, I had to look at it like two or three times like, wait a minute, no, what? Oh, right. Wait a minute. No, this actually happened? Oh, it did. Ryan and Mansfield on last night's NHL lottery, which was won by TBD. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hi. I want to say my biggest concern with this would be the Edmonton Oilers. I think it's very possible the Chicago Blackhawks could upset them with their veteran squad in five games. And how funny would that be, putting a first overall pick next to Connor McDavid and the most likely future MVP of the league this year? And other than that, I think the Penguins or the Carolina Hurricanes would be frightening as well. What do you guys think?
Oh, there's so many teams that would be frightening on.
I mean, sure, and McDavid's a stud, but I don't know. Like, I just feel like Edmonton, which was once for us olds, you know, like one of the marquee franchises in that league, is now just like a black hole. Like, they had that one rogue run to the Stanley Cup final, what, like 14, 15 years ago?
Oh, yes, I remember that. Weren't they like the 8 seed?
They were an 8 seed, yeah.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like, they're just, I mean, in a lot of ways, they're like the Tampa Bay Bucks now. They're like almost completely irrelevant, you know?
Well, they have McDavid, though. I mean, that makes them relevant.
I suppose, but that place just feels like.
And they have, again, I'm exposing my lack of, but Leon
Draisaitl,
yeah, who led the league in scoring, so they have some good players.
We were talking about Brady earlier, Tom Brady, who's now with the Tampa Bay Bucks and seemingly putting up a middle finger on Thursday with his post on Instagram using the FDR quote. The only thing we have to feel.
He loves the Roosevelts,
himself.
Huh?
He does. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt, man in the arena, now FDR.
Yeah, Bill in Framingham with a thought on Brady. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. All I've been hearing is about Tom Brady and how he's practicing and he's turning a COVID blind eye type of thing. You know what? There's 22 other guys out there with him. Some of them happen to be superstars, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski. But nobody wants to hear a quote from those superstars about why they're practicing. It's all about Tom Brady. How do you know they all didn't get together and say, yeah, we all want to do this. Let's go. But now
that's not how it works in the NFL. The quarterbacks are the ringleaders. And we all know. Gronkowski's come out and said, I don't want to play for any other quarterback. And that's why he came out of retirement. You don't think Brady has influence over Gronk and some of these other guys?
So Mike Evans and Chris Godwin say, hey, the hell with the coronavirus. Tom Brady called me up, so I'm going to risk my life and my grandmother's life and everybody else's life because Tom Brady said, come catch a football with me.
If he's the quarterback on your team,
if
he's the quarterback on your team and you want to eat during the year, you want to get fed the football, and you have the greatest quarterback of all time, he's new to your team, and he asks you to go work out, you think it's that easy to just say, no, I'm good. I'm not working out. Tom, sorry.
Yeah, there's some personal responsibility there, but ultimately you're being, not manipulated, but you're being pressured, I think, into showing up. It's that the quarterback is the CEO, the general, right? You're going to follow him. He's the new guy. As you said, Chris, the big man on campus. Some of these guys are still probably in awe of him, even if they have some concerns. Or like the caller said, they have a grandmother at home that they don't want to pass the virus to. I think you kind of turn a blind eye to it because you have to think about your career, too, when you're worried about being shut out by Brady, who has done this to other receivers in the past. It just happened last year. What was the thing that Jacoby Myers said late in the season? Like, I'm basically afraid of letting Tom down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so if these guys, it's a close fraternity with those players for the most part throughout that league. You don't think some of them have called around and be like, hey, what's it like to work with Tom?
Yeah.
And then some of them said, like, oh, man, you don't want to let him down.
Yep.
Just say yes to everything. So
I just disagree with that call.
Yeah.
And where he kind of lost me was being like, oh, Rob Gronkowski, like we all know that Rob follows Tom around like a, you know,
he's a human golden retriever.
He is a human golden retriever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like I'm not saying that in any way to disparage Gronk, but I think he has a real affinity for Tom and really looks up to him. And so, yeah, if Tom says like, you know, I need you. Like, remember that video they did a few years ago? I don't know if you remember this one, but it was like Tom putting out like sort of like a call. You know, like blowing a bugle.
Oh,
and all
yeah.
of a sudden, like Gronk comes running. He's like, Tom, you called? Like,
yeah, it was the Anchorman spoof. The
yeah.
news team.
Assemble.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, you know, Gronkowski comes like running out. Like, yeah, I mean, that was kind of a spoof, but not really.
Let's go to Jason and Lemonster on Tom Brady. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Jason.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
All right, go ahead.
I just, how bad would it be for Tom now that he called us basically a bunch of wusses about COVID and how if he ended up catching COVID himself, how bad would that look for him and his immunity line? That's all I got.
It would be really bad.
Yeah, not great. So how do you think this plays out? Does the league step in? Do the Bucks step in? Does someone get it and, you know, the whole thing gets shut down? Or the practices, you know, it's more likely. The practices just all of a sudden stop. You don't hear much. And it's just, well, we're going to reconvene end of July when the camps are supposed to
open. That was the thing that surprised me about the practices they had this week. And I don't know anything about it, but I feel like they have to be near the end because during normal times, you'd be past mandatory mini camp. And it's like operation shutdown for these players a month away from training camp. Like, they don't want to be out on the field. Now, I know in this case, it's not really like they can go anywhere, but that you want to take that time off. So I was kind of surprised he had these two sessions this week. So I think that's how it will get played. It would be like, oh, you know, the offseason portion of this is over and, you know, we're just taking time off before training camp. It won't look like Tom felt some pressure from the NFLPA or the NFL. And here's my other point on this. If you're the NFLPA and your job is to protect players and protect the health and safety of players, don't you have to step in and be like, Tom, we really would prefer you not do this? I mean, if you want to do some throwing on, you know, individual throwing sessions like you and Gronk or whatever, fine. But we would prefer that you don't get like 12. I mean, I've read it some of these things, and I don't know if this was the most recent one, but they're like recruiting defensive players to make it more realistic.
Yeah, I think these last few this week, you had defensive backs and safeties there. It's like,
this is not like throwing on air 7-on-7. Right. He's making this pretty realistic.
Yeah. And this was just days after Bruce Arians last weekend, I believe it was, where they, you know, they put out a PSA, a public service announcement, the Bucks did, basically saying like, nope, we take it seriously. Wear your mask, everyone, you know, social distance, all that stuff. And here's how, you know, Brady basically holding, full team drills here throughout the week down in Tampa. 617-779-0985. You want to weigh in on that, the conversation about the Celtics as their schedule has opened up. We open up the show with that and this wacky NHL draft lottery, which was won by TBD, which is likely going to end up being the Montreal Canadiens last
TBD
night.
Stands for Blue Blanket Rouge.
Right. 617-779-0985. Back after this, Casper and Murray.
You're listening to Casper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Casper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You know, I didn't ask you yesterday because there was a bunch going on. I know you had a lot to talk about with Brady, and you only had the 60 minutes you normally do on Felger and Maz, but what do you think about baseball being back, Chris?
Oh, that's right. We didn't talk about that. You know, so here's my take on baseball. I'm glad it's back. I haven't really missed it that much, but I'm still glad it's back. My overall feeling on this, though, is that 60 games is not a large enough sample size. Baseball is a sport that worships at the altar of numbers and sample size. And I just feel like 60 games is really fluky. And there's no sport that I think really bows down and promotes the sanctity of their regular season more than baseball, the 162. And now you're only going to play 60 games. That's 37% of a regular season. It's going to be too gimmicky and too fluky. And I hate this like extra inning rule. It feels so gimmicky and stupid.
Game needs, though? Like some fresh blood, new ideas?
It does, but this is dumb. And the way I would change this, so I know they use this in the minors, and they've used it in the WBC, but because you're talking about the best players in the world, Major League Baseball, if you're going to do this, because I agree, you know, I don't like the super long game, so I guess I'm sort of being a hypocrite here, but I don't like this rule. I don't like that the person's automatically in scoring position. Here's what I would change the rule to. The guy starts out on first base. So if you want to start the inning, okay, there's a guy on first base. That's fine. But to start it at this level of baseball with a guy already in scoring position?
Too fluky.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean,
what about the other rule of the DH in the National League now?
I like that. I think that's, you know, long overdue. I mean, you're looking at it. The league has been divided by the DH since, 1973. I think it's good to, you know, switch it up and finally have, universal rules. You know, like I always say, can you imagine if the AFC and NFC had different rules?
Yeah, I just, it's one of those things that can help slow the game down, which I don't like. And I think there's something kind of cool about the occasional pitcher that can rake, like a Madison Bumgarner who can get up there and actually hit for power. More than anything else, I just want them to keep the game moving at a speedy pace, and to add the DH to the National League, well, that hinders that a bit. The 60 games in 66 days, like, I get it. Like, I can understand the argument from purists or even those like yourself that feel like this is just too fluky. It's a game that, you know, predicates itself on, you know, their statistics and everything on long, big sample sizes. So I get that. But I for someone who is out on that sport as anyone can be, I'll tune in just because I think it'll be interesting. You know, you're going to have all these games now matter. We're in, you know, the middle of August, or it's a Red Sox Orioles game, and whenever it's like, oh God, like you can tell they don't even take it seriously just based on who they've put out there for that particular game. Now I think it'll be, well, these games will matter, so there is going to be a different feel to it. I will say this: if for any of these people that will look at any of these sports in their respective championships and put an asterisk on it, this one will likely be the flukiest and the one that will be the most asterisky, in that
probably
if you looked at it from last year in a 60-game sample size, well, your eventual World Series champion, Washington Nationals, wouldn't even have made the playoffs.
They were 27-33, 6 games out of the second wild card.
And the Red Sox would have been in, and they wouldn't have deserved it because they sucked. And so now, spitefully, this is where I get my backup.
Okay.
In 60 games, considering their roster, not
their paucity of starting pitching?
Not their pitching staff, but the roster and how they can hit. That crap team could probably make the playoffs. And considering the offseason and how it was handled and how they handled the Mookie Betts thing, and I think it was insulting to hardcore Red Sox fans this offseason, that team doesn't deserve to make the playoffs. And now this whole thing works in their favor. And it's like, oh, that's gross. They shouldn't even get that opportunity, and they likely will.
Well, it's all coming up, John Henry. You know, Liverpool wins the Premier League now, 60-game season, to completely disguise the lack of starting pitching on the Red Sox. I mean, they have three starters: Eduardo Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi,
and who Martin Perez.
Yeah, Martin Perez. And Nathan Eovaldi, to me, his single greatest attribute is that he's a Jake Gyllenhaal doppelganger.
Is he?
I've always felt like he looks like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nathan, I think now you're making me do this on air.
Yeah. Look it up.
Eovaldi.
I mean, every time I interview him, I think like, oh, I feel like I'm talking to Jake Gyllenhaal. You don't see it?
No. Not really.
I feel like he looks like Jake Gyllenhaal. Maybe it's just me, though.
Jake. With a Y, stupid. Stupid fat fingers. Gyllenhaal.
You need a special dialing.
A dialing.
Please mash the keypad.
The fingers
now.
You've used are too fat. Please mash the. No, Jake Gyllenhaal, way handsomer. Maybe, I guess, when he's got a lot of facial hair, there's kind of something going on there a little bit. And then again, I've never seen either of them up close and personal before.
Like, as we all know, you don't spend a lot of time in the clubhouse. No one will now, but you know that's the Felger and Maz, you know, credo.
Oh, yeah.
Rip these guys from a safe distance.
Go down there. No. I don't want to.
Like, they're like, go down there with your wheel of gutless bums.
It's easier to do my job and my dumb bits from behind the safety of the microphone here in Dorchester. I will not go anywhere. Stewart in the car on the NHL lottery. Go ahead, Stewart.
Gentlemen, thanks for taking the call, and thanks for being on the radio during the pandemic. I like the consistency.
Hey, thanks.
So I had an idea. This goes way back to, like, Tankapalooza with the Celtics and the thing you were talking about with the NHL draft. Why not pick at some point in the season when there's four or five teams that are out of it, right? They're in the draft. They're 0-0, and the best record of those six teams or five teams gets the number one pick. Or even have a tournament of the play, and they have financial incentives for the other players. I mean, I think it'd be fun to watch.
You know, I don't hate the tournament of suck idea. Like, you actually have a suck bag team tournament to determine, and the winner then gets the number one pick. I don't hate that.
Yeah.
That prior idea I hated. I just, the lottery thing, I think there's too much room for fixing and shenanigans.
Yeah. Maneuvering.
And I forgot about the lockout thing with Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins that Mike and Wubert had mentioned.
Oh,
like, that whole thing was on the take two. The bad team should be rewarded. And I know during a season, whether you're looking at the NFL, you know, look at the NFL, like, you know, the tanking and the NBA too, like it can be tough to watch, but you still have the lottery in the NBA and that thing ends up fixed. Like the Lakers winning that pick, like what a crock. Just reward the worst teams. That's all. Because otherwise, I think people are going to question the integrity of the whole process. I certainly do with what happened in the NHL last night. And now this kid who looks like a franchise-changing prospect is going to end up on the Montreal Canadiens in all likelihood. Yeah. And he's from that neck of the woods in Quebec. Give me a break. John in Boston on Tom Brady. Go ahead. Hello, John.
How are you, sir? How you doing?
Hi. Go ahead.
Good. This is the first time I ever called a sports channel in my life, but I listen to you guys all the time, all day long. But I just left a major city where my nephew plays for a professional football team, okay?
Okay.
Can you guys talk about Tom Brady practicing? If you guys know what's going on, all these teams, they had a three-day mini camp paid for by the star quarterback at a college where they were practicing for 3 days sleepover. The whole offense was there, okay?
I'm guessing this is the Atlanta Falcons.
No. I don't know if I want to say it, but my nephew was part of the Patriots for a little bit too. But I just don't want to bring his name up.
That's fair enough.
Okay.
But and then the following week, they had the defense paid for the defensive tackle outside the city. I was there. I witnessed it. I saw a lot of players practicing. I saw, besides that camp, my nephew was practicing with a lot of players. Not only that, I live in Massachusetts, a small town, right by the airport. I have a son that plays, he loves football. He's an eighth grader. He's going to a private school next year. He's been working out, safely. We start off with the trainer in open field, but eventually it got to the point. We're talking about quarterbacks, wide receivers, defensive backs. This is going on. You guys got to understand. This is not by Tom Brady calling Gronkowski and coming out playing. It's going on everywhere. And I'm a witness to this because I'm a fanatic. And you kind of worry because of the coronavirus. But these kids are together. They're playing. And, I just left the city. Like I said, for 2 weeks, I saw what was going on there. And this city, not only that, they're playing AU basketball. They're playing a lot of sports, but this is not Tom Brady throwing the ball to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receivers. This is going on everywhere, guys. I just want to explain it because I'm a witness of it.
Okay, and John, thanks for the feedback.
Thanks for that perspective.
There's been photos of Russell Wilson doing some workouts with some wide receivers.
I know Matt Ryan's done stuff. A lot of these quarterbacks, and Drew Brees, I think I saw photos, right?
Yeah.
Throwing to Emmanuel Sanders in Denver.
It's not just because Tom Brady's Tom Brady, and he's now somewhere else after being the most successful quarterback ever and playing here for the last 20 years that we're talking about him. It's that he's taken to Instagram and shaken his ass in the face of everybody. And the quote, the FDR quote from his inauguration in 32, where he says, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. That, to me and others, reads like, I ain't afraid of no coronavirus. I'm out here doing it. It felt like a middle finger. That's why we brought it up, John. I like hearing that. I like to hear that these teams are trying to work out and prepare themselves. It speaks to my saying that I've said that a lot of people should adopt. If you be safe, but you got to go out, do something, and say nothing. You don't have to post everything on social media because people are going to get their backs up and be rats. Or they look at Tom Brady, who's kind of acting like a bit of a dick in this, I think, on Thursday with that post, and people are going to get upset at him. But people trying to do their jobs and practice their craft, I have no problem with that. Just don't flaunt it as much as Tom Brady has done, because I think it's just a bad look and people are going to get upset. And you kind of look like an a-hole. 617-779-0985. You want to weigh in on this? We'll take your calls here coming up in our long commercial-free segment on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
What do you hear about the level of confidence that Bill has in Jared Stidham?
Well, Green, I think it says that they have a lot of confidence in Jared Stidham, and it doesn't preclude them from still picking up a quarterback at some point before camp and bringing in another arm at that point in time. But again, what they've said to you so far is this. We believe in Jared Stidham. And you heard David bring up Matt Cassel. I would also bring up Jimmy Garoppolo in the year where Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games and the Patriots went 4-0 without Tom Brady that year. And so they are used to this sort of thing, and I think they relish that sort of challenge, the fact that Tom won't be there. It will be a different offense. It will be a different atmosphere. It will be a complete different feeling with one guy who's been so important to that franchise for 20 years. It's a whole new chapter. I think that they love this. I think that there's a part of them that looks forward to this. And, yeah, they're not tanking. And, yeah, I think they have big expectations for Jarrett Stidham. And we'll see whether or not they're valid, right, at a time where, again, I keep coming back to the economics and the business of sport, where after this year, the cap may be flat or potentially go down due to the pandemic. Look at the Patriots sitting there paying a rookie quarterback in Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, a veteran, on a veteran minimum type of contract. They've got no money invested, basically, in the quarterback position, and they'll have flexibility after this year if it doesn't go well to do what they want at that point in time. But for now, they get to ride with Stidham, who I think they believe in.
ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter on ESPN's Get Up yesterday morning. And why does that quote bother you, Chris?
Well, first of all, it bothers me. Well, there's a couple of things. I'll just preface it with this. One, he definitely covered all his water-carrying bases there in terms of this a brilliant salary cap plan by Bill, but also they believe in Stidham and have high expectations for him. But also, you know, for now, Stidham's the guy. They get to ride with him for now, but they also really believe in him. And then the other thing is, talk about revisionist history there. When Tom Brady missed those four games in 2016, Bill coached his butt off. He did an amazing, amazing job. I don't take anything away from him. He had to go to his third string quarterback. But just for the record, they did not go 4-0. They went 3-1.
Yeah, I think he misspoke there.
They got shut out against Buffalo with Jacoby Brissett at the controls. That's nobody's fault. That wasn't Bill or Josh's fault. They had their hands tied. It was a rookie quarterback who couldn't do much. But just for the record, it was not 4-0.
Yeah. No, that was particularly irksome, especially because that's one of the last regular season games I went to at home as a fan, and I had brought my buddy and his girlfriend, like, as a gift.
Oh, wow.
And that game was so, but Chris, by the third quarter, I was like, because I drove to, I was like, all right, let's go. Come on, let's go. No, because Jenny had to stay. She had never been to a game before. We had to stay. She had to stay to the whole game.
Oh, God, you must have hated
it. Oh, Chris, and, you know, that traffic, too. Because
when you decide you don't want to be somewhere, really...
Chris, like, you know.
Yeah, you are the master of, yeah, like, saying... of basically leaving without saying goodbye. Like, when you're ready to go...
Oh,
like,
king
it's
of
over.
The Irish goodbye,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's over. I don't know. Is that... Can you say... I didn't want to say that. Is that okay to say?
Who knows now? when they're getting rid of the term civil war when it comes to Oregon State, you know, context should still matter. Tell you what, put it on me. So
okay, I didn't want to say it because I was like, I don't know if I can say
I'm
that.
I'm the one that said it, and here I'm.
Well, you're the one that does it, so
here,
it's
here. Let me give you the token apology now. I'm sorry. I apologize to the Irish community. Please, I hope I get to still keep my job. I hope I didn't offend you too much, woke mob. Like, there you go.
Well, aren't you Irish anyway?
Yeah, half.
Yeah, so you can say it. There you go.
I'm sorry. Please. I need to grow as a person. I'll use this as a learning opportunity. Please don't hold this against me. I was responsible for a terrible comment. It doesn't reflect Beasley Media Communications or 98.5 The Sports Hub. Please accept my apology. Again, I am sorry, sorry, sorry.
Finish your story, though, because I can only imagine how ticked off you were.
Oh, well, no, it's just, yeah, oh, Chris, I mean, you've been out with me. Oh, yeah. And when I'm, there's few things worse. Like, just meet me there. And you typically do. Like, yeah. you'll drop, because when I'm responsible for the others and the others want to stay, oh, man, do I get my bitch on. Like, guys, let's go. Come on. Like, no, we want to stay. Like, oh, Jesus. Like, take Ubers. Find another way home. I got to go. Because when it's time for old Jim here to go, if I can't go, oh, I'm going to get my bitch on something serious. A lot of huffing and puffing, eye rolling, arms crossed, toe tapping, just the, oh, man, pissed like you can't believe. Where were we? Oh, yeah, so, yeah, it's Bill's infallible. Like, it's, you know, I refer to
you guys were at this great Buffalo game. And...
Yeah, he wins with Stidham. If it doesn't work out, he wins. And if it does work out, see, we knew all along. It is kind of annoying.
Yeah, that's my ultimate point here is that they've set the Stidham thing up as a no-lose for the Patriots and Belichick, and there's really no stakes in it for Bill, and there's really no stakes in it for Stidham. Because on the one hand, you hear these reports, this is their guy, they believe in him. But on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, they're not sure. We'll see how it goes. And it's like, no, if this guy's the guy and you're anointing him the guy, then there's a burden, a responsibility, a burden of expectation that comes along with that. That's the deal. You can't be anointed the guy and it's just there's no expectations. There's no stakes to it. That's not how it works. So either this is the plan and this guy's the guy, or he's just the guy for now.
Yeah, and there's I don't want to blow up someone's source here. I'm a little concerned too, because I've resigned myself to thinking, and for the good, that it is going to be Stidham.
Yeah.
And that Stidham is at least there's upside and potential there, right? So that's
sure,
one of the reasons
definitely,
he's going to be the starting quarterback in 2020. It's not going to be Brian Hoyer, because Brian Hoyer is a suck journeyman. I am a little concerned though, in that, you know, according to the Instagram accounts of both Stidham and his wife, like, he's going to be spending some time in Texas, not just for a wedding, but, you know, he'll be back probably around training camp. Whereas you still have, you know, others like Brady and, you know, Russell Wilson still practicing their craft out there every single day working with teammates. And it's like, okay, Stidham's gone right now. And my understanding is Brian Hoyer is working his ass off right now in the area.
Not doing that to be the backup.
Doesn't make me feel great. As someone who is anti-Hoyer.
Yeah, you're really anti-Hoyer.
Pro-Stidham.
Jim, Hoyer, first of all.
I know he's a nice guy, just like Steven Gostkowski was a nice guy, Chris. I get it. I just wanted to say,
yes, he is a very nice guy, but I just want to let you know, he's only lost his last 10 starts.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. good luck with that. But it doesn't make me feel great for someone who thinks it's going to be Stidham, praying it's Stidham, refuses to believe it's going to be Hoyer. Stidham, not in the area, in Texas, with the hot wife and rich family. Hoyer, supposedly here, great shape, working his ass off. Not great. Doesn't make me feel great.
Getting his grind on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Have you been with... You must have, because you knew. We had to have been together when I got my bitch on. I'm like, it's time to go.
Oh,
time to go.
Yeah. You're kidding me? I totally know. It's like you know, it's like when you hear that, like, sort of the record scratch music. Like,
yeah.
That's what it is. When it ends for Jim, it ends abruptly.
You've definitely been with me in, like, oh, yeah, no, like we're going out with the wives. We're going to go to dinner. We show up. Nope, not waiting. Yeah, like you've seen that.
Totally. Not waiting at this restaurant. Oh, this restaurant doesn't take reservations. We're out of here.
We're not going.
Yeah, we'll find. And that's the other thing.
We'll have a spite fast food meal instead.
The other thing about you, so you're very impatient leaving, but you're also very impatient, like, waiting for something to arrive, like either a person or, like, food. Like, you don't like when you have to wait for your food.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, you know, because I've been a server, and now who knows? I would likely end up being one again. Because, you know, I know what the clock is. Like, the drinks, you show up with the water and the bread, and the drink should arrive. You take the drink order, and the drink should arrive within 5-7 minutes. And if that clock isn't being they're not going to abide to the clock.
Here we go.
I'm going to get bitchy. I'm gonna huffy and puffy.
You're putting this really euphemistically. You're like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like radio. You know, we have the wheel. There's like a clock. You're supposed to break when you're
Yeah. Oh, that clock's always going, Chris.
But it's like you're using the clock, but it's like it's really like. I mean, you're like toe tapping, like looking at the phone, looking at the watch. And let's be honest, it's not like, you know, if they just don't stick to the clock, it's full on WTF. Where's my food?
I am a prickly pear sometimes. Yeah, that's for damn sure. It's amazing that I ended up getting married, that anyone can even tolerate me for more than like an hour. I can at least admit that I am a very
She is a saint.
Very difficult person to deal with. Bruce in Boston on Tom Brady and these workouts. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, gentlemen. First and foremost, let me just say thank you for providing us, the listeners, with something worth listening to during everything that's going on, and even more importantly, is providing thought-provoking topics and conversations. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, that's Bruce. Very nice of you. Thank you for saying that.
And so going on Brady here, so the thing that – it doesn't really bother me that he's out and he's doing practices and whatnot in the sense that he's out and he's doing practices. What bothers me is we didn't get that the last couple of years. And the whole no excuses, you know, I know it's probably for his brand and whatnot, but – no excuses kind of paints him as a hypocrite, and it bothers me character wise that is kind of shining out now.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. The last couple of years, I think a lot of it was about spite, and it was about feeling like he wasn't properly valued, and sort of saying, okay, I have time. You know, I dedicate my time. I arrange my schedule to do all this stuff. I've done all these things and made all these sacrifices for this organization. and I feel like it's not being reciprocated. So I can either spend time with my family or I can do these other voluntary things. And let's remember, they are voluntary, even though in the NFL, as I like to say, it's voluntary mandatory. I mean, it's just voluntary in name only. So it was voluntary and he didn't do those things. But let's be honest about it. It was about spite. And they were having OTAs. It wasn't like he was in Costa Rica. I mean, he was in Brookline,
right,
not participating. And a lot of that had to do with the coach and the organization, the way he felt he had been treated. That's the reality of it.
And I can look, as someone who has also operated under spite in times during their career and through most of their life, I can appreciate that as a bridge burner who will likely burn more bridges to come. I can understand where Tom was coming from. You know, if Felger cannot, it's like, oh, well, the boss didn't like you. Like, after 20 years, it's, you know, I always use the analogy of bands, Chris. Like, okay, bands typically fall apart because someone feels they're more responsible for the success than the other. And with Belichick and Brady, that happened. Like, the breakup was going to be inevitable. It wasn't going to end pretty. Someone was, you know, like, Tom was going to swallow his pride there, especially after these last 5-6 years where I think a lot of the fans, and Tom definitely did, felt like he was more responsible for the success than Bill was. So, you know, I think that thing was inevitable. And the way all of last year played out, would I have rathered him retire a Patriot? Of course. But after how last year played out, that fake 12-4 and like, ugh, oh no, like, just like, go your separate ways. Like, I can't watch anymore.
Can I just say real quick on this too? But, you know, I understand what the caller was saying and being frustrated with Brady, even though I disagree with it, and sort of the no excuses thing. But on the other side of that, if Brady says no excuses, isn't Bill's thing, I always do what's in the best interest of the team? So go back to Super Bowl 52 against the Eagles, and how does that one get explained to Tom Brady? How was that in the best interest of the team? Like, we all make all these sacrifices to do everything possible to win, but what happened there?
Yeah, I don't know. So we're going to see, though. I think you'll get the best out of both of them here for at least this coming season. If there's going to be a season, hopefully there will. Time for the update. We'll get you caught up with the scheduling in the NBA that came out with that last night, the wackiness of the NHL draft lottery, and then we'll get into the final hour of Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.